Free On Your... Oh, I've already made a big peak. Welcome to Free On Your Birthday.
You made a big peak.
You
peaked, Logan.
Welcome to the show. We're back after... We're a couple days late.
Yeah, by the time they get this.
I mean, it'll be Tuesday. Now. I'll put it out tonight.
Well, last week we put up on Tuesday.
On Fat Tuesday. So maybe we're a Tuesday show.
Today's Tuesday.
The show says, the song says Saturday, but maybe we're a Tuesday.
But we, yeah, that's the song.
That just means party like it.
It also says ice cream and people think it says something else. So yeah. We can't go by that.
Yeah, it means like party like it's Saturday.
Party like it's Saturday, right.
Yeah.
Listen, I saw Elton John sing Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting.
He didn't change it.
On a Friday.
He didn't change it to Friday night. Jimmy Buffett would have changed it. Don't you think?
That's a sign. Jimmy Buffett would have, and they would have said, Saturday!
He would have said, Friday!
Friday.
Nashville!
In a strapless.
Yeah.
Anyway. That sounds weird out of context.
it's weird in context.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, every time. How you doing? You having a good week? We're here in town, but we're together now.
Yeah, you're always in Nashville. I'm in Nashville.
Yep.
So I'm going to be here a couple times this month, actually.
Yeah, so we'll be able to record in person a few times.
It's nice. I really like being here. It's a lot nicer than Chicago, I got to tell you.
Well, we welcome you here.
Haven't needed a coat all week.
Nope. It's been nice. It's been raining and gross until you got here. So you brought the good weather with you.
That's right. That's what I do.
So that's been nice. We had a good dinner last night.
We did. I mean, did you, though?
I had a salad.
You had a salad.
Which is technically breaking my self-imposed extreme fridge
but I
diet.
Think you're fine.
Yeah. I haven't looked at the scale. I was like, I'm going to work it off today. So.
And I went the opposite way and had a prime rib sandwich.
It looked incredible.
Which was literally, I asked, like, well, what is that? Because the restaurant we went to had a French dip, which said it was thinly sliced prime rib. And then they had a prime rib sandwich. And I said, well, what's the difference? She said, you literally just get a steak, basically, of prime rib on a baguette. With au jus, and then I got the horseradish sauce, and it was amazing. But I watching you eat a salad, I felt really bad about myself eating that.
I've learned to love salad because
I love salad too.
So my cheat meals, 100% right now, have been salad.
Yeah.
What stinks about that is I told Amanda, I'm like, other than we went to Memphis, I said, Bart's coming to town. We're going to 312. We're going to have the best Chicago style pizza in town. I can't eat it that often. I only eat it when Bart's here because, one, you just can't eat it that much. I feel like you'd get sick of it. And it's just intense. It's an intense meal.
It is.
Then by the end of it, you feel like you're ready to die.
Yeah.
But so I was like, we're going to do it. And then they had pizza here and it kind of threw it all off and we ended up eating at a very nice restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a very good meal, but not going to lie that I was craving that pizza.
Yeah.
The salty goodness of Chicago style pizza.
Yeah, that's okay if we skip it. I mean, we'll still have an opportunity to have it if we want.
Yeah, there's one night left.
Well, and
and then like 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Anyway, so that's food talk.
Yeah. Welcome back to food talk, everybody. Well, last week I went to Wild Kratts and I went to Casey Musgraves. Yeah. You went to a concert this week. We both went to different shows.
I did, kind of, very unexpectedly.
Yeah.
My wife is a big fan of Pink. What's her name? Her name's Alicia something. I don't know her last name.
Pink. Everyone knows Pink.
I was going to try to be cool and say a real name, but I don't know it. I know it's Alicia something, who doesn't even have pink hair anymore. But... So we found out that the day that we got into town, she was playing here.
Yeah.
And I was going to try to find tickets, and I was checking StubHub. We've even talked on here about if you wait till closer to the day of the show, even on the day of the show, you can find some great deals. I wasn't finding anything.
Yeah. I thought that today. I almost drove up to Louisville to see Kiss tonight. Yeah. And the cheapest tickets I could still find that were like decent seats worth driving 3 hours for. Or a couple $100.
I'm disrobing in the studio,
by the way.
It's very warm in here. Now that I'm a flannel man.
Maybe the flannel doesn't work for you're wearing a flannel on top of some long johns,
here. It's just a t-shirt. It's got buttons. It's a half button or whatever they call it. See, that's why we need video. People have no idea what we're talking about. One day, we're going to get to that point.
I just need like triple the listeners.
You hear that, folks?
Before we can like...
Tell your friends. I know you want to be like cool and have a thing you can keep to yourself, but we need exposure.
Yeah,
here.
But we want the opposite of
that. Yes, we want the opposite of that. We don't want to be your kitsch, secret.
We want to sell out. We want to be Kiss. We want to be merchandising everything.
We'll find a way to incorporate you as the originals, but we need to grow here. So we get into town and got in really early and went downtown, had lunch, and did some things we had to do. And I went and took a nap. I was exhausted. And I'm getting over a cold, so I went and laid down and went to sleep. And when I woke up, my wife said, I found some tickets to go see Pink, so we're going to see Pink. So we went to the concert Sunday night, and I got to say, and look, I mean, I like Pink. There's a number of Pink songs that I actually can say I really do like. I've got a little playlist on my phone. But I'm not a big enough fan that I would have normally said, I got to go see her in concert. But it was one of the most amazing live shows I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, from the video clips you showed me and Wendy, your wife, showed me, I mean, I just saw Kiss, probably my favorite show I've ever seen. This is completely different, but still the production level is even,
it's gotta
even
be
crazier, if not crazier. Because the stuff you showed me was absolutely insane to where I feels like for someone like you, who you like a handful of songs, is going to love the whole show.
Yeah. I mean, and I knew almost every song. There's probably three songs I didn't know.
Okay.
I think the thing with Pink is there are some songs that have just been so played to death that it's like, ugh. And I used to work in a bank and like
it's been a long career now.
Like the song like Who, that's the thing. Yeah, she's going on close to 20 years now.
At least.
Like the song like Who Knew and a few of the other ones. It's like I used to work in a bank and I would hear those six times a day on the, you know, it's like, ugh. But it was cool seeing them, like she's got all these set pieces, like aside from a big giant video background that changes constantly. There's physical set pieces.
Yeah.
She starts the show hanging from a giant chandelier and bouncing up because, you know, she's way into this aerial stuff. She's flipping and flopping, got bungee cords.
Cirque du Soleil.
It is like, it's like Cirque du Soleil.
One of my friends posted a picture of the chandelier thing. Super cool.
It is crazy. It is so cool. And it's like Broadway. And then towards the end, she, and I mean, you knew it was coming, but they put her in this harness that has four cords going out to each corner of this, of the arena. It's the Bridgestone Arena where the Predators play. It's the, you know, a giant sports arena. And she is flying over the entire place. I mean, we were in the 300 section at the opposite end of the stage, and she was not that far away to the point where I got a crystal clear look at her face. It was right there in front of us flying through the air. It was insane. At first, I thought she's out of her mind.
Yeah.
But I got to say, you're watching them going, man, that looks fun.
Yeah.
Like once you got over the initial, I'm going to die, and realized you weren't going to die, I think it would probably be one of the most amazing experiences you could have.
Because it's crazy. She has like full range of motion.
Yeah.
She can move all around. But it's also that, because the way you kind of explained it, it's like if you ever do a sports game where like there's like a sky cam where there's a cords and they can kind of move the sky cam around.
That's exactly
what it's like. It's like her on a sky cam flying around and it is unbelievable. Yeah. And then there are puppets and stuff.
And this, like the lines for the thing are attached to a ring around her waist that she's somehow strapped into. But like you said, she can completely spin full 360, full range of motion. She's landing on pedestals and pushing herself off. At one point, there's a lyric in the song. It was the song So What? And there's a line in line, which is they raise her up real high. And there's a line something about I'll fall, or you know, it's you let me fall, and then they just drop her free fall head first at the audience. And then right before she hits him, it slows down and stops. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. So
that is amazing. I really wish now I had gone.
I gotta give her.
I figured there was some of the aerialist stuff, but I don't know. For some reason in my head, I almost still think of Pink 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think of Pink as almost like when Avril Lavigne was hitting and all that, kind of like a punk rock, pop punk rock girl. I don't think of it as being this big theatrical show. And that's just my own fault of probably not being that. I mean, I know her newer songs, but being not that familiar with her live show, other than that she does aerialist stuff when she's doing like award shows. But I kind of thought maybe that was like,
just for that, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, she's clearly put in some serious training into this stuff. I mean, there's one point where there's one of the dancers, it looks like he's basically surfing on her body. He's attached to a harness.
All right.
And they're flying through the air. And she literally, the only reason she's not falling to her death is that her legs are clasped around his foot and his other foot is in her armpit. And that's the only thing and she's completely, what is this, horizontal? She's completely horizontal. Yeah. And he's literally, it looks like he's standing on her.
That's crazy.
And then they reverse it and do the same. And it's amazing. I think the problem with Pink that I've had, never thought we'd get this in depth about Pink on any podcast. Yet when she first came out in, was it late 90s, early 2000?
Yeah, I'd say like 99, 2001.
She was a hip hop. I mean, her first album is hip hop.
Yeah.
And she had real.
What was the first?
Like magenta. She had a hit called There You Go. And it's basically rap.
Yeah.
And she had a very different persona. She was very affected. I don't know what else to say it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Maybe a little bit of like a female Vanilla Ice kind of thing going on. And then all of a sudden she comes out as like this kind of like punk pop thing. Yeah. But like one of her first big songs after that was basically telling the story of how L.A. Reid forced her to try to put on this persona of kind of a hip hop, you know.
Yeah.
So I kind of struggled with that for a long time. Like, who are you really?
And with an amazing voice.
Yes, exactly.
And that was like really the next generation. Like, yeah. The next one was all of a sudden she's like an opera singer.
Yeah, and then she did the Moulin Rouge thing. So whatever. So, but yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Did she play any of the early songs?
No, I'd say the earliest thing she did was opening the show with the Get the Party. What's it called? I don't even know what the song is. Get the Party Started. Everybody knows the song. That's the one where she comes out hanging from the chandelier and jumping off and jumping back up. And at one point, the dancers, they look, you think they're unhooking her, and what they're really doing is pulling the things tight, and then they let her go, and she just goes flying straight back up to the chandelier. It's amazing. So
I don't know why. Maybe it's just one of those acts that I'm just not, again, that connected to, that I don't think of Pink as at right now in her career as being a selling out arena touring act.
And yes, she is.
But she totally is. I don't know why. That's my own fault, either for not being. Now I look at the Bridgestone Arena that's here in Nashville, and there are other acts on there that I'm like, I didn't know that was, you know, that kind of act would draw. But I mean, when the pictures you showed me, it looked slammed.
And that's the thing. Like, so when the opening art, there was an opening act. It was a singer named Julia Michaels who has a song out called Issues. But again, like I didn't know her by name, but apparently she's written like every hit song in the last 5 years. So she's doing much better as a songwriter. Like I told you, she did a medley of all the hit songs she's written recently. And it's like Selena Gomez, Justin Bieber, blah, blah, songs that I know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I turned to my wife at one point, she was doing a Justin Bieber song. It was that, Is It Too Late Now to Say Sorry?
Oh, yeah.
And I go, she's probably made more money off that song than Justin Bieber did.
Oh, yeah.
The songwriter definitely makes more than the singer on the song itself. Yeah. But we're looking around going, there's a lot of empty seats here. I'm like, oh, and I was literally thinking, oh, no, like, can Pink not sell out?
Yeah.
But by the time Pink went on, the whole place was full.
Yeah, I feel like that's a Nashville thing.
Yeah,
people skipped opening acts, and so much so that I think a lot of those touring acts are not even bringing supporting acts with them, because the people are just not here. And there's even one band that I follow that it plays small venues. They played small venues my entire love of them for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So last year they did a tour and they released. And I also think it's our society. It's schedulable entertainment. It's not wanting to sit through things you didn't pay for, or, you know, Kiss did it too. It's like people who are going to see Kiss are going to see Kiss. And unless you booked it with someone huge, it's just filling up time.
Yeah, that's true.
Wasting my time. Yeah. I'd rather them go on at 8 and I don't have to be out.
But didn't you say you saw Kiss with, was it Motley Crue?
I saw Kiss with Crue, and I've seen Kiss with Aerosmith.
See, that seems okay. Oh yeah, Kiss.
That show was unbelievable.
That would have been amazing.
And
I would
Kiss
like to
opened
see that. Really
for Aerosmith.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
It does make sense. And honestly, from a performance standpoint, Kiss is probably my favorite band. But it's kind of like seeing the Rolling Stones with Aerosmith. Like when you see them and they're performing their hits, they're right in front of you. Kiss, you're there for the show, and you like the music. Aerosmith, that played pretty similar length and set.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the first Kiss show I got to see in full. And Peter Criss was still the band, but it was Aerosmith, you know, no production.
Yeah.
Blew me away.
Right.
But they've toured Motley Crue, and then they toured with Buck Cherry one time that I saw them. Mm. And that's that was like the one that was like, why am I having to sit through this? And no offense. And Motley Crue put on a great show. They didn't sound very good, but they put on a fine show.
Yeah.
But it wasn't for me. I'm not the biggest.
I saw Buck Cherry open for Aerosmith. No, it was Monster Magnet, another weird
metal. Yeah, those kind of bands that are just sort of like, all right, they're there.
Yeah.
But this band that I follow, Carbon Leaf, who you know from the Curious George.
Curious George, too.
They put it, last year they announced all of their tour dates a year in advance. So they said, hey, we're coming to your town. This is like in January. It's September. Put it on your calendar, which you've actually seen now start to happen in like Ticketmaster, where, like we said, we bought those tickets. But I mean, I bought tickets to see Train and the Goo Goo Dolls like 5 months ago,
yeah.
And it's still 3 months away.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm going to cough. So you don't just sound like a frog is in my throat the whole time. But then this year they released, here is our set time. Here's when the opener goes on. Here's when doors open. Here's when the opener goes on. Here's where we go on. We know you want to plan out your night. So don't waste your time. And I thought that was interesting to be like, kind of like, it's like 8:15, whatever, we'll be on.
That kind of screws the opener.
It does. I thought that.
That's not cool.
But Amanda and I were like, that's great. We know that we know we can actually get our kids to sleep, have a babysitter, and then go to the show if you really wanted to, because that's enough time. Where before, you're like, I don't know, they're going to go on like at 7:45. We're going to miss half the show. It's like, oh, no, I know I've till 8:15. The little ones I can get to bed. Like, it did. And I know when they're over. They put when they're over. And they're like, and we are being strict on this. They're like,
kinda cool.
This is exactly when the show is.
Mm-hmm. I tried to do, because, so literally, like, my wife like bought the tickets at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
On Sunday night, and the show was at 7:30. And like, I was literally in bed asleep, and we hadn't eaten dinner or anything. So I did the same. I'm like, well, what time do you think she actually goes on stage? So I'm looking, and I couldn't find, I was trying to find that answer. I found the set list and all that, but I couldn't find a straight answer of what time does Pink hit the stage. But I'm like, all right, if the thing starts at 7:30 and there's an opening act, I mean, you know she's not going to be on stage by 8. I'm guessing 8:30. And I was pretty much right on the dot. 8:31, the lights went down, and they played Here I Go Again by Whitesnake for some reason. And then Get the Party Started or whatever like that.
The band played that?
No, the actual, it just played in the arena for some reason.
It's like the signal to everybody. Yeah.
She did have.
Just does have rock and roll Led Zeppelin.
So there was an opening act, this singer, and then there's a DJ. And I think the DJ actually was going on before the opening act too, but we weren't there. And the DJ's kind of like remixing like a bunch of different stuff. He did a couple country songs. And that was funny because he's like, at one point he's like, because I'm looking around and it's like, I was definitely in the minority this night in every possible way possible. And I went with the DJ goes, where are my ladies at? And I'm like, ladies, bro, look around. It's you and me. We're the only guys in here right now. So, but, and that was fun. That, I was kind of like, I don't even know why, because the girl she had opening for, and I later found out, and she says that they've written a couple songs together, so it's like, this is why she's got her on tour.
Yeah, Garth Brooks did that too. He brought a few of his writers.
But it was almost like her music didn't even really, it was kind of like mellow, kind of like, who's that, Colby Calais? It's kind of like, you know, we're running through a meadow music or whatever. That's a genre I just made up, running through a meadow.
I get that on Spotify. It suggests that.
In a playlist.
It's like, oh, this is songs to drive with.
Yeah. And then the DJ comes out and it's a little more lively and up and he's remixing stuff. Like, this is how you open a show.
But,
so I couldn't find the exact time. And I was like, I guess that's out of respect to the opener. But then Carbon Leaf said,
Kiss is like, I've read, because they went on right at 9 when we saw them, but they've been going on 8:45 to 9. So it's a little, I think it's probably whenever they're done with their meet and greet thing.
Yeah.
They just walk on stage. But, I like that they did that, and it would at least makes us go, huh, well, maybe we'll consider going.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I didn't go see many, went to a basketball game, went to a few things. I didn't go out that much this week. We have a busy weekend coming up, and we knew you guys were going to be in town too, so we knew we'd be eating up a lot of our getting out time.
Mm-hmm.
I almost went to Bob Saget, didn't go to that. Almost went to a few things, but just haven't pulled the trigger. The Book of Mormon is here. I kind of wanted to go to that, but just there's only so many things you can pack into your schedule.
Yeah.
So the only thing I did was spend a lot of stupid money on stupid collectibles, including this morning.
That's right. Those weren't stupid, even though we both – I love how – excuse me. We both always put caveats of, we don't collect
Funko Pop.
We don't collect Funko Pops.
But we have a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to – well, last week, we did the segment that was like – what was it? What did we call it? Don't tell my wife I bought this.
Yeah, don't tell my wife – but – don't tell my wife I bought this, but.
Don't tell my wife I bought this, but I bought – Terry Weaver texts me a lot late at night. And he texts me maybe one step too late where I was starting to get into like delirium. And he's like, hey, special sale on Ric Flair autographed merchandise. And I was like, oh. And here's the thing. I've met Ric Flair. I have an autographed WCW World Heavyweight Championship big gold belt in my office. I don't need another Ric Flair thing. I've met him twice, got multiple autographs. But a robe popped up, a Ric Flair blue robe with the feathers. I'm sure it's a cheap version of one. It's not like one he wore. It was like $80. It was like, oh, and I was like, that's going to look really cool on my wall where that Rocketeer jetpack went. Boom, and I purchased it. The next morning, I legit was like, what did you do? Like that was one of those few that I look forward to having it. I'm going to hang it. I will cherish it.
Listen, we almost lost the guy this past year or so.
I know, and I think that's why, too. Like there are certain things that I know that – now, obviously, these guys' autographs, like Stan Lee, the autographs become almost worthless because they do so many.
Yes.
But it does mean a lot to me, so I was like, okay, I'm going to get that. And then, again, I don't want to be a Funko Pop collector. I don't even like them.
But those are cool.
But I bought 3 different Funko Pops in the last week. So I bought...
Wait, what else? Okay, go ahead.
One's not coming in until like a couple weeks. But the one I bought I'll start with that one. I got a clear John Cena Funko Pop. Where he is like see-through, because it's the you can't see me, because people always make that like joke where like you can't see him and it's a meme and everything. And I just thought, this is so unique and fun. And it was an Amazon exclusive. And one of my friends had an extra one for like $20. Hmm. Which, what do they sell for normally? $10?
10, 20. I mean, it depends on what bucks. They are. Yeah, 15, 20, I think.
So I didn't feel like, I wasn't like throwing down $100. I was like, I like this. It'll go in my collection. And it's funny. So I bought that one. And then today, this morning, I was walking around Target. I felt like I needed a good walk around Target. First, I was going into the WWE aisle because I was looking for a few action figures that were very hard to find, NXT action figures. The guy right in front of me, this was at 8 a.m., people, maybe 8:10, who was wearing similar clothing and maybe looked very similar to me, was pushing a cart, and it looks like he had emptied out the section because those figures are going for 80 to 100 bucks on eBay right now. I am not paying that for an action figure, especially one that I mean, I like them, but I like the figure hunt. I like to go and see if the store has stuff. They didn't have it, but they did have one that my son wanted, a Finn Balor. So I got him that one. And then I was like, oh, well, I need to get something for the girls. I went to the Muppet Baby section, which is, I guess, pretty new.
There's a Muppet Baby section?
Yeah, there's action figures, stuffed animals from, you know, I guess it's mainly it was Kermit, Piggy, Fozzie, Gonzo, and Summer, who is the penguin. And then they had a talking, which I thought, like, the inner child in me spoke to me. I was like, you would have loved this as a kid. And it is a talking, joke-telling Fozzie Bear, where you squeeze his arm.
Really?
You squeeze his hand, and he either tells you, he either sings the Muppet Babies theme song, or he's like, you want to hear a joke? And you click it, and he does, like, a knock-knock joke, or one of Fozzie's corny jokes. So it's not the coolest thing, but I liked it. Hmm. And then lastly, I bought another set of Funko Pops. And again, when the nostalgia hits me, especially when they do these ones, here's what I'm a sucker for. I'm a sucker for anything that's weird or a variant. So if it was just the traditional one of these, I would not have purchased it. But they had Wayne and Garth from Wayne's World in the street, like, or not in the street, but in their street hockey gear. Garth with the hockey mask on, with the glasses over it. Game on! And Wayne in his jersey, and they're in Blackhawks, like licensed.
That's the most amazing thing about
it. And
them.
It like hit me. I was like, I gotta get these.
Yeah.
And I went online. They're more expensive online. I was like, okay, I'm gonna. They were like $40 online. They were $20 in the store. And they had a couple of them. And I bought them. I opened them up immediately.
Over here, by the way.
Yeah, it's over here.
Because I kind of like, man, I would love to get those for my son, even though he wouldn't care. But I think they look so cool.
They look cool, and I think that's what's like. I like the clear John Cena. I like I like these ones that they do that are different. Mm-hmm. Like Bill and Ted, they released, and I didn't buy them because honestly, if they released Bogus Journey Bill and Ted, I would have been all about it. Like I like that.
But what would be the difference?
He wears the red hat, the yellow shirt, and all that. The first one, he's wearing like the half shirt.
Never thought about that. He was wearing a half shirt.
Yeah, he's wearing like, the half shirt right. And that, and the.
I've never made that connection.
And I have the bill from the first movie in my office, the Maquette or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I could put it with that. But also, I felt like I've been trying to, if I do collect Funkos, other than the random John Cena, I like the ones that are kind of rock and roll themed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, Wayne and Garth feel like they fit that.
Well, yeah, Bill and Ted are rock
and roll. Oh, Bill and Ted too. But I want Bill and Ted, Bogus Journey, Bill and Ted. If they release Bogus Journey, Bill and Ted, and Death, sold. Would have bought them in a heartbeat.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Maybe if they did the robot Bill and Ted too, that would
awesome.
Be cool.
Like I would Station. Buy all the gimmicky ones. But it's when they just release, which I think also maybe it's because I know that, like Wayne and Garth, I feel like they probably have released in crazy mass. But I feel like the Blackhawks one, it's a Target exclusive. That's different. And I like that it's a licensed, like they didn't just put them in a red jersey. It's licensed with the Blackhawks, you know, logo just emblazoned on them. I don't know. It just looked. And that's my favorite part of the movie. Yeah. That movie is a very both the first one and second one, very special places in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to commit.
The first one for sure. The second one, I almost don't even remember. But
the second one, I have a weird memory of. I saw both those movies multiple times in theaters. But this is how young I was. My mom waited in line to meet Santa Claus. It was like this crazy long line at the mall. And me and my dad and my brother went to go see Wayne's World 2. And then by the time we got done with it, we were almost ready.
Just step right in the line to meet
Santa Claus.
Nice.
And I was young enough to be going to see Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to see Wayne's World 2. But I did look that up recently. Those movies came out like less than a year apart.
Yeah. Well,
or a year and a half.
I'm guessing Wayne's World 2 was 93 or 4.
Yeah.
I was in college. I was a freshman in college, which was 93, 94.
Yeah. And then the next one came out with Eddie.
Talking about two.
Oh, two, yeah.
So one was probably 91 or two.
90. Wayne's World 2 came out in 93. Wayne's World 1 came out in 92.
There you go.
So they came out like a less than.
Yeah, there was no.
I mean, it was like, boom, knock it out. And I'm sure they thought we got a franchise.
Because the this guys movie. In my dorm room, the guys in the dorm room next to me played that soundtrack to Wayne's World 2.
They called it Aerosmith.
But all they played was Radar Love over and over, like they'd never heard it before. Because they probably hadn't. I had because my stepdad made me listen to all this 60s and 70s music. But it's funny because, it's funny you said about the guy in Target, like, we just know our people. Like I said to my wife at the airport the other day, I'm like looking around, the security was pretty crowded. And I was like, yeah, but I can tell you a bunch of these people are going to Disney World. She's like, what? And I go, I just know my people.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, you do. But I went to, last night we were at the mall over here and I went into Box Lunch while she was looking.
Yeah. So,
she's like, what's Box Lunch? Like, it's just
it's not for you.
It's not for you. It's a nerd store. It's my people's store. But I said, it mostly just sells like Funko Pops and things like that.
Man, I'm looking at the Wayne's World 2 soundtrack. It's legit, though.
Yeah, I know.
You should have just played. I mean, it's Louie, Dude Looks Like a Lady Live, Idiot Summer. I'm not sure what that is.
Idiot Summer?
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Superstar? I'm not sure what that one is. Well, I Love Rock and Roll, Spirit in the Sky. I'm going to skip a few. Mary's House, Radar Love, Can't Get Enough, Frankenstein by Alice Cooper, because that's a huge moment in the movie, Shut Up and Dance, and YMCA.
They played Feed My Frankenstein in that one, too?
Is that the first one?
That was in the first one. That was a huge scene in the first one.
Or is it? No. It's in the second one. They send him off, because he's like in love with Cassandra.
That's the first one.
Is it?
They are. That's Benjamin. Gives them backstage passes to see Alice Cooper in Milwaukee.
The second one, they're hosting the festival.
Yeah, they're hosting the festival with Aerosmith.
Waynestock.
Was Alice Cooper in that one, though?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because I was trying to remember, too, did Chris Farley play the same part or not?
Yeah.
He is in it.
That's a Wayne's World 2 reference.
Oh, yeah. Well, these guys that only played Radar Love over and over again also got kicked out of school that same year for stealing the cadaver out of the science building. They broke into our science building to steal
a body?
To steal the cadaver because they thought it would be funny.
Well, those sound like real upstanding.
Sounds like a movie in and of itself, but they were.
Hey, you're a college kid.
That's good guys.
Stuff happens.
And this is at a Christian college. This is at a Christian college, so they really didn't. That didn't fly at all.
No.
But
surprised they even had a cadaver.
Yeah, I am surprised that you haven't gotten the Mickey Mouse 90th Funkos because there's like I was
look weird.
I agree.
The heads look so weird.
There's a few. I'm like, I kind of want that one. I don't want that one.
Yeah, like I don't know.
I don't care about Plain Crazy. I don't even really care about the Steamboat Willie one. The Brave Little Taylor is kind of cool because it's odd.
Yeah.
The Sorcerer Mickey, I would like to have, but yeah.
Well, I bought, and I ended up giving it or selling it to Terry, but I don't know if he ever paid me for it. Bargain Hunt got a lot of the 90th anniversary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the whole line of plush.
Already?
They had the whole line of plush toys for $20. That was like 10 Mickeys. So I bought him that. And they had a bunch of different versions of it. A lot of times the boxes are damaged, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. They got to be weird. But the Mickey ones are weird. But I don't know. There's something about the face. Same with like the Figment one.
Yeah.
Like there's something about when you take that kind of shape and then you make it the block.
It's weird.
It looks. You're right. It throws me off. I don't really dig it.
Mm-hmm. I did just buy, I haven't gotten it yet, but I did buy it was some Comic-Con exclusive or some kind of exclusive Funko of Bigfoot with, but it's a variant where he's holding a stick with a marshmallow.
Like Bigfoot, generic Bigfoot?
Yeah, it's there. They've done a few, like they have a line that's the Funko Monsters, which their own original creations. They're actually,
that's cool.
I actually like those more than the ones of licensed characters. And they did one of Bigfoot, and he's holding a marshmallow that glows in the dark. And there's a couple variants. There's one that's flocked, so it's got fur.
Well, that's cool.
There's one that's green and blue. There's all these. If you look up Funko Pop Bigfoot, there's like three or four different versions. Then they did a Yeti, which is the same mold, but it's white with a blue face. So, but that's, I have specific reasons for wanting that one. But to be announced later. So.
Well, I think that's what's weird. The Funko things, you have to be, I feel like I have to be specific because I see my friends who collect them, and it's like, guys, this is intense.
Yeah.
Because there's never-ending amounts of them. And
well, that's, I felt at Box Lunch, there's a whole wall of them, and I'm like, I don't even know what that one is or who this person is. Yeah,
that's even at Target, there's this section, like you had to be like digging back, and I'm like, I'm not wasting my time.
Yeah.
And then Wayne and Garth were just sitting there on the end, and it was 8 a.m., and I was lonely, and it was time.
That's why I say I want to get them for my son, but I think I want to have them in the house, but not have to say they're mine. Because it just, the Blackhawks jerseys just look really cool on them. I'm surprised that they did that, because then they probably have to pay a double license.
I would assume.
But like I've tried to
get my son to watch it. But I like Funko because they do that. They'll go that extra mile to
do
it. Have you ever watched the documentary on Funko?
No, I want to.
It's worth watching.
Is it still on Netflix?
I don't know. But
we could find out pretty easily.
It definitely makes you sort of respect it a little bit more. Not that I don't respect it. I clearly do. I think they've done amazing stuff. But one of our listeners actually posted in our listener group that she had Ursula. Mm-hmm. That she bought at the Disney outlet that's now worth like $300 on eBay. And I said, sell it if you don't have any real personal attachment to this, if it was just a clearance. And I still feel that way because you do have this feeling that Funko eventually could be the Beanie Baby, where, you know, I do think that fandom has changed. There's a lot more adult collectors of Funko Pops. So I think that affects trends. It's not like the Hatchimal, or it's not like a hit toy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, Funko Pops at Target aren't in the toy section. They're now in this weird collectibles section. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
There's like Stranger Things has a section, and it's like all these Target things that aren't for kids.
Yeah.
But are toys and collectibles.
And they're back usually behind like the CDs.
Like electronics.
Yeah. So I fell down a hole here because I was looking at, yes, it's called Making Fun, The Story of Funko. Yeah. It is on Netflix. I put it on my list. I'd like to watch it tonight.
Tonight? Ooh, come over. We'll have a party.
There's also, but because I looked that up, it's recommending The Toys That Made Us, which I've seen a few episodes of.
Yeah. I pick and choose. They're doing WWF one, a wrestling one in the next season with a bunch of wrestlers that I look forward to watching.
The Masters of the Universe one is great.
I thought the Star Wars one was really good, Master Universe.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just interesting to hear like the...
But here's a documentary called The Power of Grayskull.
Ooh.
This colorful documentary explores the origins and impact of He-Man, a character whose power stretched well beyond a toy line and children's TV show.
You know, I think you're stretching that. I think that feels like it's... For you, maybe it was more.
It's more my age group.
No, but I'm saying for even the fandom, like it was way past a cartoon and action. Was it?
Kind of.
My brother was big into it.
This is when I first tried to show my son pictures of the He-Man figures, and his first question is, "Why are they all in underwear?" And he's right. I don't know.
They're like wrestlers.
We didn't question. Well, how about if that doesn't grab you, how about this documentary, Being George Clooney. Go behind the scenes with actors from around the world who supply the voice of George Clooney in dubbed versions of American blockbusters.
Hey.
I want to watch that.
Oh, so they're doing the international voices of George Clooney, so they're consistent.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are people that do, like, the voices of, like, one of our friends is the voice of Eddie Murphy whenever it's not Eddie Murphy. But that's not that.
Is our friend? I know you're a friend. I'd like to be his friend.
You could probably claim
it. Right. Be my friend. Fake Mushu.
He was on our WDW Today years ago. Mark Mosley. He's now the host of Build-A-Bear Radio on the Dash Radio app. And him and his family, great guy, great family. But he was the voice of Mushu like when they did Animation Academy. Or I think was there Mushu in the China Pavilion show, Circle Vision?
I don't know. I think they did a sequel to Mulan, a direct-to-video. Was he in that or is he too young?
I don't know.
That would have been a while ago. It would have been a while.
He's not that young.
No, maybe.
He's got grown kids. So, I mean...
Mark Mosley. Sure. Is it Mark with a C or a K?
It's with a K.
I'm already wrong. Here's the moment in the show where we just Google things.
Hold.
There is a football place kicker named Mark Mosley. Mark Mosley, Nashville.
Nope, different Mark Mosley. I found him. Let's see his filmography. Mulan. So, he's Mushu's singing voice in Mulan. He does some lines in the original Mulan.
Really?
Yeah. So I remember him saying that like they didn't have Eddie Murphy was too expensive to bring in overdubs.
Mm.
And I don't think he's allowed to say what is him. It's like the whole Mark Martel Bohemian Rhapsody thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he got paid differently. And then he's always the donkey.
I can guess with that other guy in Bohemian Rhapsody. There's some.
Oh, yeah.
It's whenever
he's just not allowed.
Whenever Freddie just randomly belts something out, I'm like, that's probably that guy. Because they wouldn't have a clip of him singing that or whatever.
He was Mushu in Mulan, too.
I see that. He's in the Mr. Peabody and Sherman series, the new one.
Yeah.
Star Wars, the older... Oh, it's a game.
He was the security guard, the Fairly Odd Parents. It's been a lot of stuff. So that's Mark Mosley. Go look him up and listen to Dash Radio, which I've become kind of a fan of. If you're a fan of kind of old school radio, like live 24/7 radio, not just podcasts, I really like Dash. It's cool. It's like SiriusXM, but live.
Whoa, he was in Father of the Pride. I love this guy already.
What's Father of the Pride?
Father of the Pride, and it used to be on Netflix, but they've taken it down, was a show, a very short-lived one-season series on NBC in, it says 2004, which makes sense, that was a summer replacement, and it was the story of the family of white lions that lived in Siegfried and Roy's secret garden
Grand. Yeah.
It was, I believe it was claymation, or maybe it was just CGI.
I think it was CGI.
Yeah. And John Goodman was the voice of the father lion, and the girl from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Cheryl Hines
was the mother. But the best thing about it was, so all, most of the characters were animals living in this zoo, which was kind of like a little community. Siegfried and Roy were characters in it.
Yeah.
But they didn't do their own voices. So they were like the penguins from Madagascar. They were always doing crazy stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then
the accident.
A little thing happened about two or three episodes in. And
with the white lions?
With a white tiger.
Okay.
Luckily, but yeah.
Luckily. Thankfully.
Well, you know, for the whatever.
For the cartoon family.
The show was actually very funny. Obviously, it's a shame for many reasons that that happened, but it's a shame for the show that it got yanked.
What did he play in it? Was he just an additional voice?
He's many things. He was security voice. He was Stone Coyote. He was Russian Turtle Pimp.
Okay.
He was Chocolate Lightning.
All the best roles.
Alan the Duck. He was Peter Fonda. And he was Dick Cheney. We should get him on just to talk about this. This is fascinating.
You want him on?
Yeah.
I'll tell him. He'll definitely come sit in.
Of course he was. Kingdom Hearts. He was Mushu in Kingdom Hearts.
If we go to L.A., if we ever do a...
Oh, so he's not here.
No.
Oh, okay.
If we ever do a free on your birthday L.A., he'll come to sit in and hang. I guarantee
he'd be on the phone.
We could do it on the phone, too, but I'm saying it'd be fun to have
him. He worked on Fairly Odd Parents.
Well, he did, yeah. No wonder. We can do a reunion of that. We can have him and Butch.
There you go.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So,
how do we even get here?
What were we talking about? I don't
know. Funko Mushus?
Funko. Yeah. How did
the guy who created Mushu lives here? Who animated him?
Oh, we were talking about the George Clooney documentary. People that do his voice.
Oh yeah.
People that do weird celebrity voices.
Do you do any voices?
No, not professionally.
Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
I don't think you've rocked the Gene Simmons on this whole series.
I don't think I have. I don't feel like it's over. I think I've lost it. I need the inspiration.
This is Gene Simmons from Kiss.
This is Gene Simmons from Kiss. You know, Logan. Kiss is the greatest rock and roll band of the world. I've been listening to my new book, Me, Inc.
Is this really the end of the road? Well, it's the end of the road.
It's going to be the end of your road, Logan.
Yeah. We'll see what lasts longer, Kiss or this podcast.
And
they're on their farewell tour.
I mean, Kiss will be going along after the members are dead, apparently, so.
Yeah.
That almost sounded like something Gene would say. You know, Logan, Kiss will be going long after Paul and I have died.
I'm pretty sure he said that before.
Mm-hmm. But we'll still be charging a licensing fee.
Yeah. Lots of fees. It's quiet. It's too quiet.
What were you asking me if I wanted to do tonight? Oh, to go see...
Book of Mormon.
The Book of Mormon.
Or we can go to Opry Mills and get your tumbler.
My rainforest tumbler.
Or we can go get pizza.
That pizza's so good. I've never seen the Book of Mormon.
It's a pretty great show.
If so, I've heard. It was the Trey and Matt, their one foray into Broadway.
Yeah, it won Best Musical.
Now, isn't that the show that kind of put Josh Gad on the map?
Yeah. I never saw it like in its
original run.
My brother went. I never went. I saw it actually, weirdly, I may have talked about this before. Do you remember like 3 years ago, they did in England, it was called Secret Cinema, and they built Hill Valley from Back to the Future. And they did all these events.
I do kind of remember that.
So the first night of that, I had tickets. And we were in London. Man and I were both in classes at Oxford.
Mm.
And we're like, and it was the last day of our trip. So we're like, we're going into London. We're going to this Back to the Future thing. They give you character names. They told you what to wear. We bought costumes. We get to London. We get into our hotel. Event is canceled because they could not finish construction in time.
Oh, geez.
I'm furious. I'm so upset because like we planned our whole trip. This is like the grand finale. And we stumbled upon the Book of Mormon was showing there. We're like, well, we've never seen it. Let's buy some tickets. And it was a guy who we'd actually seen a few times who was the lead, but it was the original West End cast. And it was fantastic. It's mm-hmm. a good show. I mean, it's definitely not for the faint of heart.
No.
I'm a religious person, but you have to take it, you know, with a grain of salt as you do South Park.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar. It feels kind of like a South Park show. You know, they definitely show the good and the bad of all sides.
Yes, the South Park offends everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's some really redeeming like parts in it. There's parts you would love because I feel like these characters love a lot of the same stuff we love.
Okay. They're our people.
Yeah, they kind of are our people.
We would know them at Target.
Exactly. So they touch on a little bit. I don't want my voice to shut. They touch a little bit on that.
Because this is your like third podcast.
I know. I'm running out of steam. I've only had one shake today. I'm like falling out. But it's a good show. And if we can go, I don't know what time it starts. You leave tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I do.
So we can't go tomorrow.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen a Broadway show. Like, and the funny thing is, being in Chicago, they preview all these shows there. I could have seen The Producers with Matthew Broderick and Nathan Lane in previews, you know, whenever it was right after, shortly after I got married, so like 17 years ago or something. But we didn't go.
Oh, I went.
And then it became huge.
Broadway, and it was incredible.
They were doing, and I don't know that the show even lasted very long, but they did an Addams Family musical.
Yes, with Nathan
also
Lane,
Nathan Lane and B.B. Newworth.
It was a big hit, yeah.
Previewed that in Chicago, didn't go, could have. So they previewed the SpongeBob musical, which, that I don't know.
It did really well, too.
Did it?
Yeah, I think it just recently
closed. I feel like there was a time you used to hear
about these
shows.
The Jimmy Buffett musical was in Chicago?
Yes, that one I can't believe I didn't go to.
They're touring at that now, though, which...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because it didn't do well on Broadway.
You know,
Amanda went and loved it.
And that's his second attempt, too, because he did back in the late 90s, he wrote a Broadway musical called Don't Stop the Carnival, based on a book by Herman Wolk, which is a great novel, about it's about a Broadway PR guy who has a nervous breakdown, and he buys a hotel in the Caribbean. So it's like a guy was writing a Jimmy Buffett story when Jimmy Buffett was
is that
a
album...
So that album,
I know the album.
So they released an album called "Don't Stop the Carnival," which is it's the cast album, basically.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, it's the show. They recorded it in a studio, but it's the cast album. And then they couldn't find a theater for it. No one wanted to back it. So it only has run in like it ran somewhere in Florida, and I think for a while it was running in the Bahamas at some hotel or something. But it just didn't get off the ground. And I like the album a lot, and I love
the
book.
Yeah, it's a really good album.
So I don't know why it just didn't. The only difference is on the album, Jimmy sings all the lead parts.
Well, that's what I thought.
Which like, he wasn't in the show.
In my head, it was just a Jimmy Buffett, right?
Yeah, no, it's the album of the musical that he wrote with Herman Wolk, who wrote that book, who also wrote all, like, if you look up his...
But then he also did Big Fish, the musical, right?
Did he?
Jimmy he wrote the music for Big Fish, or produced it?
I didn't know that.
My kid's school recently, that was a pretty big hit. I never saw the musical. I love the movie, but I've never seen the musical.
I know he wrote a song for the movie Hoot.
And I know he's in the Jurassic World.
And he's in it.
And he's in he's coming back to Hawaii 5-0, which I didn't even know was a thing that he's there.
Yeah, I saw him, Frank Bama.
Yeah.
I saw the first time he did that. I didn't know he was still doing it.
Yeah, he's coming back.
And
he's
used to watch that show.
Yeah, I watched the first season.
I watched the first couple seasons and then fell out of it.
But because that character, we may have talked about this before, is a character he created, right?
That's
from the book.
It's the main character in Where's Joe Merchant is Frank Bama.
So that's cool, but does it feel like that character? Or is it just in name only?
Well, look.
That character feels like Jimmy Buffett.
I love Jimmy Buffett, but Jimmy Buffett is a terrible actor. So the few lines he had in the one episode I saw, he's just reading them off a cue card behind the camera, basically. And he's just got this stupid smirk on his face, like, I don't even know what I'm doing here. But they asked me to.
Like, I was in Congo.
I'm guessing Frank Marshall probably has something to do with that show, because anything Frank Marshall produces, Jimmy Buffett tends to show up in because they're buddies. He was in Congo as the pilot, which he didn't have any lines in. And, you know,
Does he not have any lines?
I don't think so. They just see him
cut to
the switches. Yeah. He's in Jurassic World picking up the margaritas.
Yeah.
He's in Hook.
He's in that new movie.
No, that's true, and he might have lines in that.
I think he definitely does, but I don't think he's probably been a major part.
He's in the movie Hook, but very briefly, and you don't recognize him.
I didn't even know he was in it.
He's one of the pirates that's trying to steal the shoes in one scene.
Oh.
I can't remember. What other movies has he been in? He did a movie. There was a movie called FM where he's just on stage singing. So, I don't know. How do we get on this subject now?
Floyd.
Oh, we're talking about the musical.
Bama.
Floyd.
Big Fish. Did he do Big Fish?
No, he did not.
He didn't?
No.
Nothing involved?
Andrew Lipman did the musical.
Was he involved in Big Fish?
I don't see his name listed anywhere. I don't see him.
He was definitely... I thought he was.
That kind of sounds familiar to me. But I'm not seeing anything about Jimmy Buffett.
I mean, the headline was Jimmy Buffett is... Oh, he produced it.
Oh, did he? All right.
He was the producer of Big Fish.
Maybe that was to kind of get his feet wet for doing... The Margaritaville thing.
Yeah, it was 15 years ago.
Well, the other thing is...
No, it was 5 years ago.
It takes that long.
5 years ago.
The movie was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
There was a...
You can visit the set still.
John Mellencamp and Stephen King were writing a Broadway musical for like the last 10, 20 years. I don't know where that's...
Well, I mean, there's only so many theaters. I mean, that's the problem. It's like Spider-Man. I think it was U2, Julie Taymor, all-star cast. It showed, and it was like a disaster.
Did you see it?
Never did. I always wanted to. Just could not ever get there.
A couple
of friends went.
I remember my friend Dana seeing it and just the stories he told about, because it just, He didn't see anybody like get hurt, thank God.
Just some technical stoppage.
So much technical. Like at one point, he said many times they would just have to start riffing because he said the guy that played the Green Goblin was hilarious.
Yeah.
Because he would just take it all in stride. Like, I guess at one point he said something about having technical difficulties and he goes, you know, I've heard they've killed a few of them or something like that from the stage. So, because they did. They had guys dropping from the ceiling.
Yeah, after breaking their necks.
Oh.
And that kind of happened at something happened like that at the Marvel Live show we went to.
Really?
It started. Got 6 or 7 minutes into the show.
You told me that.
And they
right.
shut down. And then we don't know why, but it was like, as Star-Lord was like, descended, clearly something like triggered and the whole thing went, whew, and everyone rolled out and was gone. No announcements, nothing. An hour passed. And finally, it restarted. A good show.
And that's, well, that's not, okay, that I understand.
But if they can do.
I'm just saying, Pink got into town the night before or whatever and was able to do this whole thing without
a
hitch.
They don't start setting up until 7 a.m.
Yeah, but that a Broadway show that's got all this time to set up couldn't get it figured out.
These theaters are, they're like 100 years old.
Well, I know.
Or more.
All right, fine, but they just be able to do
some of them. I don't know what theater they ran in, though.
I don't know, but.
Some of those theaters are not that old.
Yeah. That's the one I would have loved to see. And that's, I mean, they finally got it down eventually, but it was too late.
Yeah. King Kong's another one I want to see right now, but
yeah.
But that's just, I just want to see the puppet. I've heard the actual show is just kind of meh. But
that's true.
You're there to see the giant big gorilla.
That's how I feel about the King Kong movie, the Peter Jackson one. I'm like, I just wanted to see King Kong. The rest of the movie is way too long.
Yeah.
Meh. I liked Skull Island, but that's much more my speed.
I love Skull Island.
I love Skull Island.
Are they doing more of those?
Yes.
Feels like it's been a while.
There's a new Godzilla coming out, and then they're going to do King Kong versus Godzilla.
Everyone loves the versus.
But ultimately.
They're doing that right now, Batman versus the Ninja Turtles.
But I'm telling you right now that I'm going to go on record as guessing it will ultimately be King Kong and Godzilla fighting some other
thing. Yeah.
They'll probably fight at first.
And then Batman versus Superman. It's the Ninja Turtles meet Batman. It's not meet because they can't do that anymore. Now it's versus.
Yeah, that's the thing. We watched that trailer today.
It's versus.
At first, they don't like each other. They're fighting. And then, of course, they team up and whatever. So
I like the Flintstones meet the Jetsons. Do you remember that?
Did they do that? Yeah, I guess they probably
did. It was a movie.
Well, you know, there is a theory that the Flintstones doesn't take place in the past, but in the future.
Okay, well, that's just wrong.
It's a post-apocalyptic. No, there was a book called Killing.
They say it's a modern Stone Age.
There was
family?
A book called "You're Killing Your Inner Gilligan," and it was like the psychology of television, whatever. Anyway, and the guy's
the technology.
The guy's theory was that yes, it was a post-apocalyptic future where we had all the knowledge. But we no longer had the resources, so we had to start over.
Like if all the satellites went down, what would we do?
So basically, that's why they knew they had garbage disposals. They had cars, but
TV,
they didn't have engines, and they didn't have electricity. So they were they weren't dinosaurs; those were mutated animals because of all the fallout.
Except his name is Dino.
Well, all right,
which is Dino.
All right, fine,
but it's a fun thought.
It's a fun thought.
I would like to see that movie.
I would too. I think Will Smith made that. It's called After Earth. Nobody saw it.
Yeah, they keep trying to make, I feel like the Jetsons live action. Like every few years, like,
yeah,
we're making the Jetsons live action. It never happens. I feel like the ship has sailed for, honestly, it's sadly for all the Hanna-Barbera properties.
If I asked about the Jetsons, they would look at me like with a blank stare. We had at our Six Flags.
Time Warner has done a horrendous job at keeping those brands alive. Flintstones, the Jetsons, Johnny Quest. I feel like all of those shows, Magilla Gorilla, Top Cat, everything. I feel like they were such a huge part of my parents' childhood and my childhood. And now it's like you have to subscribe to, Bazooka? No. Something like that. There is a Netflix for these old cartoons that they run. It was a network for Boomerang.
Is it Boomerang? Yeah. Okay.
They had a network, Boomerang. We used to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But they've just let those properties just dissolve.
I think I've told you, but like our Six Flags had an area called Camp Cartoon Network that they now just called Camp Cartoon because they've either lost or gotten rid of their license with Hanna-Barbera. Because all the rides, it's a little kiddie section, were Hanna-Barbera themed. So there was the Spacely's Sprocket Rocket, which was a little kids roller coaster. It's actually a lot of fun, and it was all Jetson themed. We had the Jellystone boats, and there was all Yogi Bear. The little boats went in a circle. They had Flintstones cars that you rode in. That
That's
looked
cool.
Like and they had the Mystery Machine, which is just one of those things that goes up and around and up and around, but it was the Mystery Machine. This year, they've taken all the Hanna-Barbera theming off but kept all the rides and just, like, painted over the sets. But my kids didn't know who Spacely was. And it used to, like, right before it took off, it was like, ding, 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 and it would take off. meant nothing to them.
Scooby-Doo is one that they has still stated.
Because of those movies.
Those movies.
Kids are still kind of finding those.
Like, my son knows Scooby-Doo. Mm-hmm. He knows Scooby-Doo and Shaggy. And
does he know them from the animated movies that they're doing? Yeah, like the Kiss one.
He knows them from like the Kiss one. They did WWE. They do a lot of those partnership ones, and he sees those. We watch them, and they're really good. And now they're doing a new CGI one or something with with Will Forte as Shaggy.
Oh.
And Matthew Lillard is ticked.
Will Forte is Shaggy. He's a little old, isn't he?
Well, it's cartoon.
Oh, the whole thing. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
that's true, because
Matthew Lillard took over for Casey Kasem.
Because he did the live action ones.
It was fantastic.
It was fantastic. And then he took over in the animated.
Yeah.
And for a long time.
Casey Kasem left.
For a long time. Well, he's dead now.
Well, but I think it was before he died. Yeah.
And Mindy Cohn from Facts of Life has been Velma. Which one's the one with the glasses?
Velma.
Thelma. She's been her forever.
Yeah, and Frank Welker still.
Is he still Fred?
Original cast, yeah.
But.
Hey, Kiss's last song ever recorded as a band is for Scooby-Doo meets Kiss.
They haven't done a new album since then?
They won't put out a new album.
I guess not.
Gene says no reason to put out a new album. Can't make any money.
Nobody cares. That's true.
And so he won't do it. So Monster was their last record. And then they did our Sonic Boom. I forget which one of those. And then there's a song in there where they play a band called the Ascot Five.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Kiss doing that song.
Oh, gosh.
Don't touch my Ascot. It's like this whole thing.
I do remember that.
It's hilarious because Fred is obsessed with the Ascot Five. And that's weirdly, that is Kiss's, as of now, which seems to be the case, the last original, I don't think they wrote it, but original song they've recorded.
I'm going to tell you something. I watched that Scooby-Doo meets Kiss, whatever movie, a few times, and I keep thinking, I wish they would have made this as a live-action movie.
It's so much fun.
It would be so, and get Kiss, have actual Kiss in it, and just like they did with those other two, and just have the dog be CG. I think that would have been an amazing movie. Yeah. Probably would have made a lot of money, or else I'm crazy. I don't know. Have you let your son watch those two
live-action ones?
Yeah, are they a little too much?
I haven't not let him, but we haven't.
Because
they're pretty scary.
Yeah, I thought so too, but my kids loved them. Well, my older daughter, who's like me in every way, loves them because she likes stuff. The younger one, I think, probably left the room.
Yeah. Riker likes – he wanted to see Goosebumps. We didn't go see that. He wanted to see that. Like, he likes
like
the
Goosebumps.
The trailers to those he likes,
mm-hmm.
the kind of kid spooky movies.
Mm-hmm.
He likes those, but we never end up going to see him because I'm like, I don't want to deal with this. Because he plays pretty – like, played the Spider-Man video game, plays mm-hmm. some of these other ones. They're pretty – like they're pretty realistic. But sometimes it will give him nightmares. So I'm like, I don't really want to encourage another weird thing in his head. But he does watch this. The girls watch Scooby-Doo and Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
They love it. Because they mm-hmm. love the music, and they love Kiss, and they love Scooby-Doo. It's just fun. The WWE ones also go kind of weird. They like them. But they've done a decent job.
Did the Scooby-Doo and Bobby Flay movie ever come out yet?
I didn't know that was a thing.
I don't know if I'm supposed to know it's a thing, but I know it's a thing.
Okay. Keep that in.
I don't know. If
Kevin Smith... is awesome. And what appears to be Jason Mewes was supposed to be, I think.
It's called Scooby-Doo and the Gourmet Ghost, and it came out in 2018. So I'm not telling anything I'm not supposed to. And it's this cast of Scooby-Doo meets Bobby Flay and Giada De Laurentiis. I don't know. And Marcus Samuelson, all these chefs.
What's the story? Give me the plot synopsis.
Scooby-Doo and the gang encounter the mysterious Red Ghost while visiting world-famous chef Bobby Flay at the Rocky Harbor Culinary Resort. Came out in July.
The Rocky Harbor Picture Show.
Kate McCucci is now the voice of Velma. She's, you would know if you saw
her. Oh, yeah, like the Gooch from Scrubs.
Is that really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Like from Garfunkel and Oates?
That's what, I was trying to think of the name of, she's one of those two. So, yeah.
They,
Scooby-Doo and the Gourmet Ghost, it's a real thing.
I gotta watch that. I don't think my kids will be interested in it at all.
Who is this? Why are they cooking?
How'd that get made? Like,
I don't know, but it did.
Like, we're gonna get those Flaniacs.
Yeah.
They're gonna be all about it.
Actually, it said that, what's his name? The one that does Winnie the Pooh's voice.
Jim Cummings.
Jim Cummings is in it.
He was actually in Huntsville this weekend at a con. I wanted to go. Our friends at the Main Street Mouse were there. Just 80 miles down the road.
Right.
I just couldn't get down there.
I saw that. Scott interviewed Lou Ferrigno.
I saw that. Anyway. Another fun thing, though, I was thinking about the Scooby-Doo and Kiss movie, is you know there is a Kiss live-action movie that takes place in a theme park.
Yes. That's
Kiss
why
meets the Phantom of the Park.
Yeah.
And it is horrible.
Yeah.
And it is, it's honestly hard to find. There's no legit versions of them out there still. It was a made-for-TV movie, I think. But I had a tape of it when I was a kid. We used to watch it. It is, Kiss has a theme park, or they're at a theme park, I think it was shot at one of the Magic Mountain or something like that. And there's like an evil scientist character that takes him on. And there's like, but all of a sudden they'll break into like Beth and like, you know, the acoustic. But Ace Frehley only says "ack" the entire time. He goes "ack," and the reason is he went to the writers. He goes, "This is ridiculous. I only say "ack." They're like, "When we met you, that's all you would say to us." Because I guess he was just so out of his mind.
Oh, really?
That he just kept going "ack." So like, I guess that's his thing. And then I can't remember if it's them or Peter Criss, but they dub one of their vocals completely. Is a different person. Because they were their accents, like their New York accents were so thick that you could not understand. I think it was Peter Criss. It may have been when they added some parts. Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page right now.
Yeah.
It was. NBC aired the film at the height of Kiss's popularity.
Yeah, it was towards the end. It was, filmed at Magic Mountain, California. Yeah, it said, Frehley is known for his instinctive behavior, said little to nothing but "ack." As a result, he was not given any lines except to interject "ack" at various points in the first draft of the script. I'm trying to see which one, who got dubbed. One of them got dubbed over, though. And oh, yeah, Peter Criss's dialogue in the film had to be overdubbed by well-known voice actor Michael Bell, who had worked with Joseph Barbera on a number of past projects, as he refused to participate in post-production. The only time Chris's actual voice is heard is during Beth. Hmm. That's pretty interesting. And Hanna-Barbera made that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
That's weird.
I forgot that. It's the beginning. Hanna-Barbera production. But they're doing Rock and Roll All Night. There's a lot of references kind of in the cartoon to it.
And they fight robot versions of themselves, don't they, at some point or something like that?
I think something like that. But that and Kiss meets Scooby-Doo is kind of a similar storyline.
This was, and this was what, 78? Because then there was also a movie called The Phantom of the Paradise, which didn't that take place?
I don't know that one.
In a theme park, or am I way out of my... That was 1974. Maybe that was in a theater, I guess. It wasn't.
There is a theme park Final Destination-y movie. I forget. They shot at Universal. I forget what it's called. Oh. Or is it just one of the Final Destinations?
I think it's just one of them because I think I saw
the... Because the Hulk flies off the...
Oh, really?
But it's not the Hulk. It's like something else.
I think there is a cover of one of them where they're on a roller coaster. Well, there was also a movie. I don't know where they shot this, but there was a remake of...
Whose Line Is
It? It was The House on Haunted Hill. And early on in the movie, it takes place in a theme park, and they have a roller coaster go flying off the tracks. And it was part of the ride. Yeah. Like, you'd see the train in front of you fly off the tracks, and it turned out it had dummies in it. It was just an effect, but... I was like, that'd actually be a cool idea for a roller coaster. Mm-hmm.
Like, kind of, I mean, Everest, you kind of have that.
Yeah, kind of.
You go and it's done.
But imagine if a thing actually went off in front of you.
Yeah.
And you thought you were going to follow.
Yeah, I do wish that effect was like, it's a little bit more realistic.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh.
It also doesn't help. For some reason, if you notice that area is like, there's a ton of like hair rubber bands everywhere people fling off for some reason. Well, I don't know, whatever. And then you got the bird clearly attached to a rod that just kind of like spins around.
Yeah.
It's like, did we need that? But anyway, this is not a Disney podcast.
Yeah, Joe Rohde.
Yeah, Joe Rohde. Come on, Joe.
I call him Joe.
Call him Joe.
Everyone does.
JR. Come on, JR. How long have we been going?
An hour.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Boy, time just
I don't know what we talked about at all this time.
I know we talked about Funko Pops at some point.
Funko Pop.
Funko Pop, Funko Pop. So that's good.
We're going to have an address for you guys soon.
You know, you said you wish we had a thing. It feels like Funko Pops are becoming the thing we talk about.
Oh, I hate it.
Even though we don't collect them. I know.
Sure that we're like one of a billion. I don't even like them.
Can you imagine? How could there be a Funko Pop podcast when you came and see? It would have to be on YouTube.
Well, I listen to an action figure podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
I listen to a pro wrestling action figure podcast, and I go on their Instagram, and I see, ooh, what are they talking about?
Oh, that makes sense.
And you think of it, I mean, I started today. I'm a collector of Nutcrackers.
That's true. I just started today, but yes.
No, I'm a collector. I have probably 100 Nutcrackers.
All right.
I mean, they only come out around Christmas, and this year I forgot to put them out. Yeah. So they haven't come out about a year and a half. But I've been collecting them since I was like 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So I have quite a few of them. And I was like, I wonder if anyone's doing a Nutcracker collecting podcast. The answer is no. I think I found the one thing that there isn't a specialty podcast on. And also that the fan community, not that vibrant. Very old, I believe.
No, I'm sure.
And German. Old German
pod. Old German. Have you seen, I get hit, well, you probably, because I'm sure it's, I'm just, they've figured me out. I'm looking at my Instagram right now to see if it pops up. Because every time I go to Instagram, I get this ad for these little, they're collectible Harry Potter figurines.
Oh, I have seen those.
And it's like a subscription thing. Like, you get two right away, and then it's like once a month you get them. And they look cool. They're very detailed. but they're super. I think they're really expensive for what they are. If I'm not mistaken, no, I can't. I said I get it every time. Now I can't find the darn thing. If I wasn't looking for it, it would have popped right up. Yeah, let's see.
It's because they're listening to you.
I know. Harry Potter.
I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I am.
Figurine. It's like a subscription thing. Let's see if I put in subscription. I just had a really weird deja vu doing this.
If you want to have see the picture, by the way, me and Floyd Mayweather, I just posted it.
Okay, here we go. Wizarding World figurine collection.
Are they like Funko-y?
No. No, no.
They're realistic?
They're very realistic.
Oh.
Yeah. They're on like a little pedestal.
Kind of old school.
Yeah, yeah. So the first one you get is Dumbledore, and it comes with like extra, like a, some information, some other stuff, cards, whatever. Oh, you just saw my the sign-up thing. Starts
I know,
off.
I know what Dumbledore looks like.
$4.95 plus free shipping.
Like $5?
To start.
Okay.
To get Dumbledore. Now you start collecting. You even get a t-shirt of your Hogwarts house. You got to put in your t-shirt size. So I'm going to say Slytherin.
Medium.
Oh, it also only goes up to extra large, so that doesn't.
So they don't understand their fans.
They don't understand their fans at all.
I'm already out.
Okay, and then the regular subscription is you get two figurines and two magazines each month for $15.95 each plus $2.45 shipping. So it's actually $31.90 plus $5 for shipping every month for two of those figures.
Who runs this one?
Eagle Moss.
All right, there are a lot of these companies that do
this. Is that a company?
I don't know.
That's what it says, Eagle Moss.
Because like, I got served an ad. I'm not a Precious Moments collector either because I'm not like a... I'm not like a grandma.
Yeah.
But they had a Back to the Future
set.
You collect
Hummels? Back to the Future Precious Moment?
That is awesome.
Get out of here.
But you have to, and then they have the Breakfast Club.
What?
And I love the Breakfast Club one, but you have to buy like a subscription and they send you one a month and they're like $40 a month to get Precious Moments Breakfast Club. And here's Back to the Future. It's with the DeLorean, Marty McFly.
And is it ceramic?
Yeah. Like they're legit. Precious Moments.
That is kind of cool.
I know. Part of me wanted to collect Precious Moments.
I want to see the Breakfast Club one.
That one I loved. Breakfast Club. I'll find it in 2 seconds.
I already did.
Yeah.
Oh, so wait. Are they individual or is it one big sculpture?
It's individual and then you send them, they connect.
A locker thing.
Right.
That's insane.
And they look awesome.
It.
No?
The only one that actually looks like a Breakfast Club is Judd Nelson. The other one could be any other Precious Moment figure.
Judd Nelson and Anthony Michael Hall. I mean, and...
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I just like that this exists.
Oh, I do too. I love that it exists.
It's $39.99 for each issue.
So each figure.
Yeah. And it's
they're expensive.
Yeah.
It wasn't Precious. I bought for a while.
They got Princess Bride.
There was another thing like Precious Moments called Snow Babies.
The Monsters, which feels more...
And there was a moment in time where my mom decided she was going to collect... every year they would put out a Christmas Barbie or whatever.
Yeah, I think my wife used to do that.
My mom for 5 minutes thought she was going to do that. She was getting into Barbies for some reason. So I got her for Christmas the Snow Babies, which looked like Precious Moments, only they had snowy suits on. Whatever. I don't know. There was a Barbie figurine, which was really big, like that tall, and then two like Snow Babies at the base. But then,
yeah.
And it was expensive too. I thought it was a nice thing. And she was going, whatever. But
I can't justify $40 a month for this Breakfast Club kit.
No.
And I think the Marty McFly one's $80. Because it comes with a full-on DeLorean. And they're more of a joke. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have a glass case in my house like my grandmother, with all my Precious Moments. Part of me wants to.
For mine was my stepmother's mother collected Hummels.
Yeah.
The little German
things. I know the Hummels.
Things.
I know Hummels.
She had the case with all the Hummels.
And that's kind of like my Nutcracker collection. It's a bit old lady. But
there was a moment in time where my mother-in-law collected Boyd's Bears.
Oh, my mom totally did. Boyd's
Which
Bears.
I actually like Boyd. They're kind of fun.
I went to Boyd's World.
Wow.
Which was in Gatlinburg.
Really?
It was a giant, and I mean giant
I'd kinda
piece
go to
of
that.
Property with a restaurant and a museum to Boyd's Bears. If you don't know Boyd's Bears, I think they got bought by QVC. They were little teddy bears. I think you bought them on
ceramic.
QVC. I remember they weren't ceramic.
Yes, they were.
No, they were stuffed.
No, she collected Boyd's Bears figurines.
Oh, that's even harder core. Boyd's Bears were like really high-end stuff.
Oh, I didn't know they actually were stuffed, but yeah, she had figures. She still has them in the bathroom.
The ones that my mom collected were the stuffed ones, and we used to have them, and they were really cool. And then they had a whole world in Gatlinburg.
Yeah.
And they looked like
they
that.
Were like, yeah, they have like a whole collection of ceramic versions.
They all kind of look the same.
Yeah.
And eventually that closed down. Yeah. It became Casey Kasem's. We're turning back around. Not Casey Kasem. American Bandstand.
Dick Clark.
Dick Clark's American Bandstand Theater. in an event space and restaurant. And I would see Weird Al there.
Oh, all right.
I slept Amanda. It was back before Weird Al was touring a lot. When we were like dating, I was like, we're driving 3.5 hours to see Weird Al in a very warm lawn of the American Bandstand / Boyd's Bears. Oh, man, I'm an old lady.
Yeah, it's all right. If it makes you happy.
Welcome to Nutcracker Cast. I'm your host.
I at least collect, yeah, I don't know.
I don't really collect those actively, though. Maybe one a year I'll pick up.
Yeah, you should.
It's a tradition. Tradition. All right, should we wrap up?
I think so.
All right, that's we've gotten, who knows what we'll spend money on next.
Yeah, right.
You got your Avatar pinball brochure. I'm still waiting for you to buy. You almost went to a Stern pinball event, though.
I thought about it. There was one in Chicago this past weekend.
I totally would have gone.
I wanted to go mostly just to see, because Brian Quinn from Practical Jokers was hosting it, which I don't even know what that means exactly. But it was like they had a tournament, and they had games set up you could look at, machines you could look at. I don't know what they do at a pinball convention. I do. This is where, like you say, you wish we had a thing just to do a podcast about. I wish I had a thing just to go to a convention for.
Yeah, like a thing you were passionate about.
Like you were so that you would go to
like
every
your
year.
Career.
Yeah, like you would look forward to just to go. Yeah, and not to work, just to like
just
I was
a fan convention.
Yeah, like
I used to do that for Star Wars Celebration. Yeah,
I was DJing at a resort not that long ago, and that weekend in that resort, they were having an Elvis Fest. And it was just, I was just looking at all these people. And
so happy.
They're so happy. They're connecting with people they know online or whatever, you know, and they're all old, you know, they're all older. But it's like, I don't have a thing like that. You could say Disney, but I don't go to Disney conventions.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Believe me.
I've been to D23 twice. Just once.
I sort of feel like
it's chaos.
Twitter and social media have kind of destroyed those things.
I agree.
Because then they've made people be jerks to each other.
I agree.
So maybe those fan conventions, those things will start to die off. Like all these people at this Elvis thing probably aren't on Twitter. Well, I mean, maybe they are with each other. I don't know. But because they're all older, they seem like they probably stay in touch the old ways. I don't know.
Yeah.
Chat rooms, whatnot. Yeah.
They're on Facebook, I'm sure.
Probably. It's probably Facebook where people are a little nicer.
Facebook crowd's a little nicer, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, be nice to each other, everyone.
That's right.
Maybe that should be our close.
Don't be mean.
Be
don't
nice
be
to each other.
Let people like what they like. It's okay. Listen. I don't think the Aladdin trailer looks that great, but I'm not going to argue with you. Actually, I take that back. I think it looks good. I don't like the Jafar.
I'll give you that.
He's a little wussy for Jafar.
I'll give you that. The one thing I don't like about it is the voice of Jafar.
Yeah.
I think he looks... And the acting looks a little...
He also looks younger than Aladdin.
The acting looks a little Phantom Menacing.
Eh, I don't care about that so much.
I don't care
it's
either.
Aladdin.
It looks visually beautiful. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. I'm so pumped. I'm going to be there day one.
Mm-hmm.
But it did, like, when he was like, do you trust me? I was like, oh, this felt... That gave me an Attack of the Clones... Attack of the Clones vibes.
I know we're ending, but let me ask you something. There's a point in the trailer where he goes, he's talking about how it's kind of vague to say, make me a prince. Like, you tell me to make you a prince, I'll make you a prince. He makes something appear far away behind him. Is that him as like the Fresh Prince? Because it's him.
I think it's just a prince.
Just any old prince.
Because he's like, where's my castle?
Which is kind of but I thought maybe, I'm like, was that supposed to be the Fresh? Because that would have been
That
would have been a hilarious joke.
In a very genie-esque
joke. Yeah, it's the Fresh Prince, you know.
Maybe it is. Let's go back and look at it.
Maybe, I don't know.
No, not right now. We'll do it after.
We'll do it later.
All right, let's wrap it up. Be nice to each other.
There's a new trailer for the last one.
All right, be good, everybody.
All right.
See you.